Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, give the Bears credit. They always leave us something to talk about on these Thursday podcasts. This week, we'll try and figure out whether we're excited about Tyson Bagent or not. All of that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, did you ever think you'd see an undrafted rookie quarterback starting for anybody, much less in week 7 of the season, and much less for Justin Fields, who 2 weeks ago we thought might be turning a corner?
Yeah, I wouldn't have expected it this early in anybody's season.
Right.
This wouldn't normally be your ideal structure.
No.
Normally you would want a quarterback that you believe can be your present and future as the starter. You want a very competent veteran as the backup. And then you want a Tyson Bagent type on your practice squad or at the end of your roster to be in development. So to have it shake out this way, which, I mean, I'd rather have it be Tyson Bagent than Nathan Peterman.
Right.
Both in terms of interest long term, and that Tyson Bagent right now today is probably better than Nathan Peterman.
But this thing,
although not as experienced.
Right. But playing him gives, certainly opens the opportunity. This thing could be a mess on Sunday, right?
Yeah. I mean, everything points toward that historically. When you're starting someone that comes from this small of a school, this early in their career, not by design, this isn't the plan. This isn't someone that has been cooking on their practice squad for a couple of years or been kind of being groomed for this type of role. It is, the odds are against it, even against a Raiders team that is just average, just an average NFL opponent. Nonetheless, it's nothing like Bagent has ever faced. I know he came in at the end of for the second half of the Vikings game, so that was his first taste of it. You probably saw him look good in preseason. That's a totally different ballgame. People don't really blitz in the preseason. There's a lot of very simple, straightforward coverage in the preseason. There's a lot of starters out on the defense in the preseason. You might have seen him set every record, I believe, passing-wise in college football. That was against teams like
Westchester.
Westchester University and Cutstown. And like, that's not exactly like Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence coming from the very top of college football. It's interesting. It's a great story. I think maybe you and I were talking about this earlier this week, that picture this in a different situation. Picture this Tyson Bagent getting his shot, filling in for Mahomes for a week, or Justin Herbert for a week, or Tua for a week. And you know it's just a one-off or just a three-game stretch where, you know, the really, really good established quarterback is coming back soon. You'd be like, this is kind of cool. Let's see what he can do. Yeah. Like, this is kind of a fun story. Nothing's really ever going to be fun for the Bears at 1-5. Like, the only way this is going to be fun is if he's good enough to get them a win. And, man, that just seems unlikely. The name that people always bring up in this scenario is Tom Brady. The more recent name, who was a sixth-round pick. The more recent name that people bring up is Brock Purdy, who was the very, very last pick of the 2022 draft?
Last year's draft.
And so Brock Purdy is a guy that was almost undrafted.
Right.
Came from major college football, though, at Iowa State. And Brock Purdy comes in week 12, I think right off the top. That's a big difference.
Yep.
Steps into a perfectly clicking 49ers team that I want to say was like 8-4 at the time on a loaded roster. Comes in, does very well, ends up winning the job this year, winning playoff games for them last year, winning the job outright this year. That's in a perfect situation. This is so far from a perfect situation. Justin Fields is far, far from the only reason this team is 1-5.
Right. Yeah, and you know, that comes down to the blocking. It comes down to the fact that they have one reliable wide receiver at this point. This comes down to the fact that they're only, you know, reliable running back, you know, Dante Foreman, was fairly uneven last week. There were a couple things you touched on that I want to come back to. One of them is this. You mentioned, blitzes. You mentioned protection. Luke Getsy explained today that, on the first play of the game, the Bears' first play of the game against this blitz-happy Vikings team, the Bears came out empty formation. Vikings had more pass rushers than the Bears had blockers. Justin Fields does the right thing, checks in to a slide protection, and has all of his linemen looking to their right to block. That leaves the edge rusher on the left untouched. That's the right thing to do, and he did it. The second thing he needed to do was take two steps to his right when he got the snap and throw the damn football. And he didn't. And I think we've seen a lot of that with Justin. I think some of what we saw with Tyson Bagent on Sunday was kind of refreshing to just see him get the ball out. But I think refreshing is probably the nicest thing we'll be able to say about it going forward. It's just a different idea than what they had with Justin Fields. The second thing I wanted to bring up, well, quick trivia question. Do you remember what Brock Purdy got for being Mr. Irrelevant when he went to Huntington Beach, California for his dinner?
A surfboard or something?
He got a trophy, which was named the?
The Mr. Irrelevant trophy?
The Lozman trophy. Oh, not okay. Heisman. Lozman. Wow. Lozman. You said it. Brock Purdy walked into a better situation.
Into a perfect situation.
A perfect situation.
Pretty much.
And I wrote about this the other day. This really hasn't happened in Bears history before. There are two guys who have started as an undrafted rookie at quarterback since the merger. One of them was in the strike year where they were playing scabs. So let's throw that one out.
Was it Sean Payton?
No, it was not. And the other one was Henry Burris, who had thrown for 4,000 yards the year before in the CFL or 2 years before or something like that. Both of them were, adults, not guys fresh out of college. One of them was playing in a season that only barely counts.
Yeah.
So you're asking an absolute ton of this kid and of this offense that didn't really seem to work with Justin Fields at quarterback.
A real Division II undrafted rookie. He's not like 28.
Yep.
It's not like he played in Europe or,
well, and we talked about
played in the CFL or played in the Arena League. And he was in college last year at Shepherd.
And you and I talked about Chad Hutchinson. When you look at how often it's happened around the NFL in recent years, Chad Hutchinson was pitching, I think he was pitching in relief for the St. Louis Cardinals the year before when he started for the Cardinals or for the Cowboys. Warren Moon had come from the CFL. Half these cases are screwy bounce back career things.
Yeah.
This is not that. This is, 6 months removed from graduating college or finishing your college career. It's really, really interesting, but it's only interesting because of the sense of unknown going forward. And I'll be curious if the answers we get on Sunday aren't good, boy. I wonder what Bears fans have left to look forward to.
It's a total, that's bleak.
Sorry.
but real, but accurate. It's a total wild card with Tyson Bagent.
Mm-hmm.
The odds are against him.
Yep.
As he said Wednesday, though, he has beaten every odds that has ever been against him. And he has. Comes from middle of nowhere, West Virginia. Not recruited, ends up at a small Division II program.
10 miles from his house.
Yeah. Comes here and he's behind Walker and Peterman and could easily be cut. Tyson Bagent could have been cut any time between April and the start of training camp, and you barely would have even noticed.
It would have been 100 words in our newspaper if he had.
Yeah.
And to his credit, he beat them. He beat those odds. And to his credit, he carries himself as though he thinks he's just going to keep drawing 21s off of 13 or something like that.
See, I like that.
I love that. Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how to put this because it's like, has Tyson Bagent been doing what I would like to see him do to this point? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that it will continue?
No.
Past this very moment that you're listening to this? Not necessarily, no. And if there's anything as a Bears fan that you're tired of hearing, I'd love to see your top 10 list of things you're tired of hearing from Hallis Hall. Near or at the top would be how good something looked in practice all week. And then, surprise, the game is the lie detector test. It looks horrible. But Tyson Bagent, for what he has had to do, mm-hmm. going back to off-season camps, training camp, preseason games, all the way through his starting quarterback press conference Wednesday. Tyson Bagent stepping in to the weekly Wednesday starting quarterback press conference. I like his vibe. He looks like he doesn't look scared. He doesn't look overwhelmed. He doesn't look like you know, kind of nervous and trying to figure it out. Tyson Bagent commanded the room Wednesday like a starting quarterback and seems incredibly confident. And that will not get it done, right. But I like that as a starting point for him.
He commanded a room at 11 p.m. at Lucas Oil Stadium after his preseason game. Like, he's, you know, he has carried himself in a really unique, really interesting way.
You know what he did a good job of yesterday? Mm-hmm. It's one of the most insignificant questions in the big picture probably for him. But I loved that it was asked, and I loved how he handled it. Because most of the questions to Tyson Bagent on Wednesday were about his story.
Right, sure.
How crazy is this? Your dad's an arm wrestler. How crazy is this? You're from West Virginia. Somebody asked him about the interception that he threw.
Yeah.
And that's part of the job, too. Mm-hmm. It's not just, look at me, I'm happy, amazing story, Tyson Bagent. It's like, oh, you got to answer for what happens on the field, too. Right. And he had a good answer. He said that, like, I got to do a better job knowing what my options are on that play. And if he's going to be able to continue to diagnose his hits and misses in games, that is going to be more key than his ability to exude confidence and tell his story as a guy that, you know, him and his dad were the only ones that believed this was possible.
And Luke Getsy said today, you know, on that interception, he essentially shuffled himself right into his own left guard. That part of it was, you know, Bajan's footwork. He just drifted a little too far. And had he stayed where he should have been, maybe he could have stepped into the throw a little better and made a better pass. I had asked Luke Getsy on Thursday about really the last time he had to do something like this. And that was 2 years ago. I don't know whether you remember this, but Aaron Rodgers got COVID-19 on a Wednesday. Who could have seen that coming? And they had to prepare Jordan Love for his first start on a Sunday.
At Arrowhead, I believe, right?
At Arrowhead. And, you know, he, understandably, Luke does not like making comparisons between the Packers and the Bears. I think because when you coach the Bears, comparing yourself to the Packers, it's probably a losing proposition. But he did say, you know, here's one thing they had in common, is that during the course of the week, we fed him the playbook and fed him the playbook and fed him the playbook. And they were, you know, Love was really good about saying, I get this, I don't get that, we need to work on me getting that. And he said that Tyson is just like that, is that when Tyson, you know, Tyson communicates well about what he knows and what he doesn't know. And honestly, it doesn't sound like there's a lot that he doesn't know. This is a guy who I think a lot of his confidence is that he studies like a crazy person.
He knows his stuff. He was talking about this, and we talk about this all the time. I think where we talk about this the most, actually, is with wide receivers, because it's been an issue for the Bears. The best athletes don't always win.
Right.
The guys who know what's going on are the guys that win. Anthony Miller probably has more talent in every regard than Darnell Mooney. And Mooney's super talented.
Sure.
But Darnell Mooney has lasted and outplayed him as a rookie because he knew where to be.
Right.
And it is even more true with quarterbacks. Knowing what you need to do, knowing what's happening, is so much more important than the physical abilities. And Tyson Bagent, I was very impressed both with his confidence and his self-awareness when he's telling you about being sent into the game against the Vikings. And he says what he told Getsy is, call your offense.
Do your thing, the quote.
Yeah. I know the playbook. Don't, like, tailor this down for me like I'm a kid. I know this. Go ahead and call what you want to call in these situations. I'm ready for it. I like that.
Well, and I'm writing about that for the Sun-Times. And Getsy had a good quote. You know, you said, so when this kid says, I know the playbook, just keep doing what you're doing, do you believe him? Yeah. And Getsy's quote was, to say that he has a full command of everything that we have, that's probably a little bit optimistic, which is honest and good. And then he says, but it's really cool and rare when you're out there looking, you know, it's cool and rare in the sense that you look for guys who act like this.
Yeah.
You look for guys with this sort of confidence. This is a good thing when they say, no, put it all on me. I got this. Whether it's true or not, and the job of the coach, I guess, is to determine how much of it is Bajan's confidence and how much of it is legit.
Yeah, and you have to go off what you've seen in practice, and then you'll have to adapt to what you're seeing in the game. Is this being run as we drew it up, or is it not? Let me get very practical with you with this question, Patrick. Okay. Give me a realistic range of outcomes here for Tyson Bagent. Give me a realistic worst-case scenario for Sunday, and a realistic best case scenario for him?
I think the worst case scenario for the Bears and for Bajent is that they get down early and they have to throw a lot. And the Bajent throws three interceptions, just is unsure of what he's looking at, is unsure of the speed.
You're picturing down 10 most of the game.
Yeah,
and Bajent having to throw 40 times on obvious passing situations against their pass.
And that's just a bad situation for everybody, but certainly for an undrafted rookie. I think the best case scenario is the Bears rely on a run game that's been really good. You look at the Raiders, they give up the 10th most rushing yards in football, the 7th most rushing touchdowns. That you rely on Dante Foreman, maybe Darrington Evans, and then you run a quick targeted passing attack that enables Bajent to get the ball, get rid of the ball, stay away from Max Crosby, and, you know, complete 65% of his passes for 250 yards and two touchdowns, something like that. Maybe he runs a little bit when he gets in trouble, but, you know, he was clear. He said, I'm not quite a drop back passer, but I'm not a dual threat guy either. I'm kind of somewhere in between. If he can use his legs and run four times for 30 yards, something like that. That's a formula for something. That's a formula for you being in the game. And then, you know, the other part of it is the Bears defense has to hang in there. I think they did a good job of that against the Vikings. It was by far their best performance. But I'll believe that the Bears defense is not horrible when I see it consistently. Because up until last week, it had been pretty consistently horrible.
Yeah, just as their offense had been, and other than this little flare-up against the Broncos, which, by the way, that was only 20 points.
Right,
let's not throw a parade for 28 points.
Sure.
And then 40 against the Commanders. Right. Bajent is the big story for Sunday for the game. Fields is the bigger story. Fields being out is the bigger story, big picture, for the Bears. And even if we're saying, conservatively, he's going to miss three games, let's say.
Okay.
Let's say he's hurt. He's not going to be able to throw or throw well, but doesn't need to go on IR, doesn't need surgery. He's going to miss three games. I think even that is a big issue for him. And this is someone who has a super high bar to clear because of the Bears having Carolina's pick, which could end up being number one.
Yep.
And he has to he was not on solid ground at the time of the injury as their franchise quarterback and would have to deliver an overwhelmingly convincing case over the final 11 games. So what that means as far as the injury is concerned to me is that while this is not fair because getting hurt is not something that you can control, missing time counts against him.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the whole like availability is an ability thing that I hate that they say, but in the sense that it cuts down his opportunity. And he couldn't have afforded that.
Right, and it's not fair, but it's true. He needed, starting in week one, to prove to the Bears that he was their quarterback of the future. I think that would have been the best case scenario for the franchise too, because then maybe they sit there and they go, okay, we'll give him Marvin Harrison Jr. with the second pick, and we'll give him a left tackle with the eighth pick or whatever.
You'd love to end this year where Justin Fields is the eighth best quarterback in the NFL,
right,
and you can use those high picks to do something else.
And you build a real roster around him, or you trade one of those super high picks to a quarterback needy team, and then you get another haul just like the one you got from the Panthers, and that's how you start acquiring really top tier players. He had to show it, and he hasn't yet. He had a good 5 days, and I don't want to demean that, because that is, boy, that is the Justin Fields that, you know, on his best day, I'm not sure I'd ever see Justin Fields throw the ball the way he threw the ball in those two games. But him being on the bench hurts him. It's not a neutral outcome. It is a negative outcome for him. And
as opposed to, like, if it was Herbert.
Right.
If Herbert was going to miss three games, it would have no effect on any big picture, anything for the
Khalil Chargers. Herbert?
Justin Herbert, sorry.
Okay, awesome.
I'm talking quarterback.
Quarterbacks. Quarterback. Well, and the other thing, too, is what compounds that is, if you believe that Justin sitting hurts their chances of winning, and I think it pretty obviously does as we sit here right now, every loss that the Bears take from now on further incentivizes them to go get somebody who's not Justin Fields to play quarterback, because that pick gets better. And, it's bad news all around. I think as we sit here, if he missed three games and didn't need surgery and didn't have to go on IR, that to me would be a pretty – you called it conservative. I think it'd be a pretty happy outcome for him at this point.
Is conservative the right word? That's like kind of a rosiest possible outcome for him, is to only miss 3 games.
And that gives him 8 games to come back and play. You know, what I wrote about in the Sun-Times for Thursday's paper was, okay, let's say that happens. Every inaccurate ball he throws the rest of the way, you're going to sit there and go, how hurt is his thumb, really?
Yeah.
When he carries the football, and carrying the football when things are going right is a really important part of his game. And I don't think we've seen it as much this year as I thought we would. But when he carries it, if he fumbles, or if he runs out of bounds instead of putting his head down or his shoulder down to try and get a first down or whatever, or he can sit there and be like, boy, that thumb's probably really bothering him. And then that all of that clouds the evaluation, right? I mean, all of that makes it hard to get a really super clear picture of whether he is your guy or not. I don't want to say it's an excuse, but it's built-in rationalization now if things don't go well.
Yeah, but it's not going to be, well, he was hurt, we're going to, you know, not count this year and give another chance. Like, I don't think it's not going to be like a placeholder like that. Like you said, it's not a neutral event for Fields. If Justin Fields sits out the next 3 games, the most that is home against the Raiders, then at the Chargers, at the Saints. No Super Bowl contender there.
No.
But all teams that are better than the Bears.
Yep.
Including the Raiders. Mm-hmm. And certainly including the Chargers and the Saints on the road. Most likely outcome, not saying this will happen, but the most likely outcome there is 0-3. You lose all 3 of those games with mm-hmm. your undrafted rookie quarterback. What does that put him at? 1-8?
Yep.
You're saying Justin Fields is coming back at 1-8. What's happening to your season at that point?
Is it any worse than what's happening to the season now?
I mean, that could really slide out of control. And so, I mean, now you're talking about, like, on top of everything else that would be working against Justin Fields, like, this season is so over. You can't even pretend to dangle this Matt Eberflus story that he keeps telling about the Colts and their big comeback in 2018. Like, you can't even like throw that unicorn out.
And
there.
Why did they come back? What was the big contributor there?
They had Andrew Luck.
Oh, Andrew Luck came back and played well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A guy everyone thinks would have been a Hall of Fame quarterback if he kept playing.
And the other thing too is, I want to lay this out as a hypothetical, but I think it's worth thinking about. If there's, say, 8 games or 6 games or 4 games or whatever left in the season when Fields comes back, and it's clear that the Bears are probably going to go in a different direction with him, what sort of advice would you give him if you were his representative?
Hopefully you don't have to. I know what you're getting at. Hopefully you don't have to. Hopefully the Bears sit there at 1-8. They know they've moved on. Hopefully they would do the right thing and not and do the right things for themselves, because you're wanting to trade him and get something in return.
Right. And that's the thing. If he plays well the second half of the season, that in theory makes him a more valuable trade piece. But if he doesn't, you know, is there that excuse? Do you sit there and go, you know, hey, New York Jets, if you want Justin for next year, we really want a second round pick for him. I know he was bad the second half of the year, but you know, he had that thumb, but now the thumb's okay.
Yeah.
And can other teams get a true sense of it? It's a really interesting question. As we sit here today, you know, Fields had a small little brace on it when we saw him yesterday. He still wasn't casted up. I view that as some sort of positive. But Matt Eberflus said the Bears were going to make a decision by the end of the week on what to do with him, and we await that. I want to get to picks. Oh, go ahead, Jason.
I'd be very nervous about Justin Fields playing through that injury. Which I assume that at some point he is playing through that injury, where it will not be, if you're trying to get him back as soon as possible, you're getting him back with that thumb not 100%.
With it taped up?
Yeah. He's incredibly tough. Mm-hmm. Like, there are other injuries where I would, like, you know, he played through cracked ribs, I think, a couple of years ago. There are other injuries where I would feel like Justin Fields can power through that just on his grit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things have been working against Justin Fields in his Bears career. One thing I do put predominantly on him
mm-hmm.
is that he has been a turnover machine.
Right.
He has thrown picks. He has coughed up the ball. That has been very problematic, and you can say what you want about teammates and blocking and coaching and scheme and all those things, but ultimately the guy with the ball in his hand that's losing the ball to the other team mm-hmm. is him. He's making those decisions. Now you're going to add, like, an extra liability of ball security problem because of the thumb, but whether as a ball carrier or a thrower,
yep.
That is extremely troubling to me when it comes to the idea of Justin Fields coming back, which again, we don't know when that is. We hopefully, I really do think we'll have some clarity on that no later than Saturday afternoon. I can't imagine the Bears would be sitting here. I can't imagine they would not put him on IR Saturday and then have him end up missing four games. I mean, that would be such a miscalculation as far as trying to manage your roster and needing some help and directly needing help at quarterback, because if he is going to miss four games, you want to be able to add somebody as the add a third quarterback to the active roster so that person can be your emergency third quarterback and you're not trying to beat somebody in the fourth quarter with Cole Kmet at quarterback.
This is the same team, though, that at 2:30 last Friday, Matt Eberflus goes, I will figure out what to do with Khalil Herbert here pretty soon. And then 25 minutes later, they put him on IR, something like that.
Quick meeting.
Yeah, they do a good job of not having to comment on it if they don't want to. Jason, let's get to picks real quick. Before we do, I'll throw a stat at you. The Bears played in Las Vegas on October 10th of 2021.
I remember.
It was our first year with the full traveling party after COVID. Las Vegas did not seem to recognize COVID, from what I remember.
I don't think it hit there.
No, the Bears won that game. Tell me give me their winning percentage since then.
Were they 3-2 or 4-2?
I think it got them to 3-3, I believe.
No, I think they came out of there with a winning record.
Since then,
my point is they were riding high. Matt Nagy was like, this is turning around.
And then a losing streak began.
And then winning three more games. Let's see.
Winning percentage.
Since then, winning percentage, I'm going to guess they've played about 40 games.
They played 35 games.
They had to have won at least a third of those. Even a bad team would win a third of that.
No. How many wins do they have out of 35? How about that? Lower. I'm pointing lower.
Nope. That'd be 10.
Nope. Lower.
I mean, 10 and 25 in that run would be horrible.
Lower.
They went 6-11 that year.
Keep going lower. Lower than 10.
9?
They've gone 7-28 since then.
28. Has anyone been worse?
That's a fifth
probably
of
it. Probably not, right?
No. I need to look it up, but probably not.
I'm sure not. 7-28.
That's 20% of their games, Jason. That's one in every five.
That's actually higher than Matt Eberflus's winning percentage. That 20% is weighted up by winning some games in the final year of Matt Nagy.
I've got the Raiders 24-23 just because I'm 5-1 because I've picked against the Bears every time. And I can't pick them unless I can see it. And I don't think we have any reason for faith here. If Tyson Bagent comes out and is great, I'm happy to be pleasantly surprised. But
you'll take the L on that one in the picks. That's fine.
Jason, you've got him. Also one-point game, a little lower scoring, 16-15. Does this have something to do with the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo's got a bad back? We may see either Brian Hoyer or Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah, the Raiders aren't very good.
No.
The Raiders are 3-3, but...
And Josh Jacobs, last year's rushing leader, is not good this year either.
I know they beat the Patriots. Patriots,
Packers, Broncos.
Packers, Broncos. Okay, so they haven't beaten any good team.
Right.
None of those teams has a winning record.
Right.
So they're not very good, but they are better, I would say, in every way than the Bears. And Max Crosby would be a potential game changer for them because he's a game changer anyway, but that is a particular problem that the Bears have trouble with. Like, if I'm the Bears and I'm listing my biggest concerns for this game, he's ahead of Davante Adams for me. Even though Davante Adams is better at his job, he's a better player, in my opinion, than Crosby is at his. I got the players to match and deal with Davante Adams and keep him from just absolutely destroying me. Max Crosby, would it be that crazy if he got like 5 sacks on Sunday? I don't think you can just rule that out.
Also, Darnell Wright still banged up at right tackle for the Bears. That could be a giant problem. Mark Potash has also got the Raiders 31-27 of the 6 Sun Times.
Somebody had to pick the Bears, didn't they?
Yes, they did. I'll let you guess.
Not Morrissey.
Nope.
Talander.
No.
Talander made some goofy Bears pick.
Scoop Jackson's got the Bears 21-18 in overtime.
Scoop's a believer. I love it.
I think Scoop's picked the Bears more often than not. So
because he wants to be happy.
Yeah.
This would all be happier and more fun if they were good and interesting.
As the Raiders proved, Jason, you can be a bad team and still be 3-3. It's not that hard.
It'd still not be very fun. It can't be that fun to watch Raiders games.
Anyway, on that, we will let you go. If there is an emergency Justin Fields development, we will check back in. But otherwise, we will see you next time on Sunday after the Bears game at noon against the Raiders. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back soon.